And reading at verse number 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And may the Lord bless to our hearts this reading from his own infallible and inspired word. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee this morning for this beautiful Lord's Day morning. And we thank thee, O God, that we can meet together in the house of the Lord who made all things and who upholds all things by the word of his power. Our Father, we pray that thou would focus our minds and our attention upon the things of God, and especially upon the person of the Lord Jesus. O God, we pray that Paul's prayer may be our prayer, that I might know him. And Father, we pray that thou would bless every child of thine with a fresh vision of our blessed Lord and our Savior. We ask you, O God, now as we turn to thy word, that thou would bless it to each one. O God, open our hearts to receive the word. And Lord, may we grow in the grace of God, daily dying unto sin and living unto righteousness. And Father, we pray that thou would fill every heart with the joy of the Lord, that is the strength of the believer. Our Father, we pray for any who may not know the Lord Jesus. We pray it even today while we basically are speaking to thy people. O God, may there be in word and season to the weary one out of Christ. And Father, we pray that thou would draw that one by thy power unto thee. Be with us now, we pray, and bless us and refresh us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our motto text, as you've seen on our calendar and will see in the latest issue of the magazine, which will be out shortly, is part of Philippians 3 and verse 10, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Last week we took time to look at the words, that I may know him. And we showed you how that Paul, even though he had superior knowledge of Christ than we shall ever have, yet he longed to know his blessed Lord and Savior even more. And we pointed out last week at that time that we may be very familiar with the details of the history of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the doctrine of the Word of God, of the example and the sacrifice of Christ, and yet our knowledge of him could well be deficient. For example, if I was to ask you today, what do you know about the queen of this realm? And you'd probably be able to tell me at least some facts, and others have studied greatly and know a lot of facts about the queen, and you could be most loyal to her as the sovereign of the realm. And yet we'd have to say that our knowledge of her would be most deficient, because, you see, we don't know her personally. And likewise, we may know the Lord Jesus as our Savior and as the King of the realm of our souls, and yet our knowledge of him could be lacking. And so let us continue to pray that the Lord would give us that desire to know Him in a much more cherished way than we've ever had before. Now this past week, as Dr. Saunders has reminded you, we have had a very blessed week of prayer. Night after night, many of you met with us at the throne of grace and prayer. And without any collusion on the part of the five speakers that we had night after night, the Lord led us to consider the need for increased strength. And for example, on Monday night, our text was from Daniel, "The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." And then on Tuesday evening, we had the fact of that verse that has been quoted already, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee." And there's the promise of the Almighty that He will increase the strength and reinforce the people of the Lord in their strength. On Wednesday, we had the verse from Isaiah 41 again, "When the poor and needy seek water and there is none, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the Lord, will not forsake them." And of course, water is essential for strong physical life, and the water of life is essential for increasing our strength in our spiritual lives. And so we had the refreshment of God's people on Wednesday evening. And Thursday evening, we went to Habakkuk, chapter 3 and verse 2, where he is praying, "Revive thy work in the midst of the years." And of course, revival has to do with the strengthening of the people of God. And so you got the revival there of God's people. And then on Friday, we close out the week from Hebrews 11 and 34. Dr. Saunders reminded us that out of weakness, the children of the Lord in Hebrews 11, they were made strong. And so the promise given was realized in the people of God in those Old Testament days and can be by us today. Now today, this theme of strengthening continues as we look at the other part of our motto text. That is the power of His resurrection. This was the longing, the desire of Paul's heart. He already had experienced much of God's power, but he longed for a greater manifestation of it. And may that be the desire of every believing heart as we start a new year. John Bunyan said that he could only preach such truths as the Lord had burned into him. And may the desire to have more of an experimental knowledge of the power of Christ's resurrection be burned into every believing heart this year, that we may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Now I want to look at this and just give you 2 points this morning. First of all, to consider the fact of the resurrection of Christ, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. So we need to look at the fact of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And we've shared with you before that the resurrection of Christ is one of the best attested facts in the history of this world. Because Paul lists over 500 eyewitnesses of the glorious fact in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the disciples, who for 3 full years lived with Him and walked with Him and talked with Him, they attested to the fact that Jesus did rise from the tomb. To deny the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, you must deny the testimony of the eyewitnesses that we have in the word of the Lord. Now, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus was a supernatural work wrought by the three persons in the glorious Trinity. First of all, Galatians 1 speaks of God the Father who raised Him, the Lord Jesus, from the dead. And so you've got the work of the Father involved in the resurrection. And then Jesus Himself in John 10 and 18, He says, "I lay down my life that I might take it again. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again." And then in Romans, you have the statement speaking of the Spirit of Him who raised up Jesus from the dead. And so the resurrection of the Lord Jesus was a work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and it was an amazing work, because the body of the Lord Jesus was laid in the tomb. And there can be no question about his death. He really died at the time of the crucifixion, despite what others would try to say. Because the soldiers, they witnessed the death of the Lord Jesus when they said they saw that he was dead already. That's in John chapter 19. And then the unnamed soldier, he confirmed the death of Christ when he thrust the spear deep into the side of the Lord Jesus, and forthwith the Bible tells us there came out blood and water. And then Pilate, he certified that the Lord Jesus Christ was dead. He checked with the centurion, who affirmed that it was so, and then he gave the body over to Joseph of Arimathea, who, aided by Nicodemus, took the body of the Lord Jesus gently and carefully and laid it in Joseph's new tomb. The grave was then sealed by the circular stone, and Joseph and Nicodemus made their way sadly back to their homes, thinking that Jesus Christ and his kingdom was over and done with. Now, inside the tomb lay the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who was wrapped in swaddling clothes at his birth is now wrapped in grave clothes. He is dead. His heart has stopped beating. His lungs no longer breathe. Rigor mortis has set in, and every cell in that precious body has died. He lies in the tomb without movement and without life. But then something very strange happened. The body that lay in the tomb, bound hand and foot in grave clothes like Lazarus, began to stir. And the movement signified life. And that tells us that there was a supernatural power at work, the power of his resurrection. Now, the word for power in our text here is the word dunamis, from whence we get our word dynamite. Now, Jesus quietly slipped out of the linen grave clothes in that amazing demonstration of supernatural power. But while that resurrection was quiet in the physical sense, it was explosive in its impact upon the history of this world. And the reverberation of that power continues unabated unto this day. And the amazing thing was that it was accomplished by his own power, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He himself escaped the bonds of death. Now, death could not exist in the presence of Jesus Christ. When he met the little daughter of Jairus, one of the rulers of the synagogue, she was raised to life. Death could not exist when the funeral procession coming out of the city of Nain with the only son of the widow, he too was raised to walk in newness of life. And death could not exist with the Lord Jesus Christ when he stood out beside the tomb of his friend Lazarus. You see, death was vanquished as Lazarus stumbled forth from the tomb wrapped in his funeral garments. Three times Jesus conquered death by his mighty power. But now comes the greatest test of all, because as the hymn says, death could not keep his prey. Jesus rose from the dead by his own power. No one had ever done that before in olden times. No one has ever done that since those times. No one has ever been able to come out of the grave in their own power. Now, we can stand at the grave. We've had several deaths in this within our congregational friendship. We have had several deaths, and we can stand at the grave, and we can weep over our loved ones, and we could wish that they could return. But they can't, because neither we have the power to bring them out of the grave, nor do they have the power to come forth by themselves. They are all bound by the shackles of death. Only Jesus Christ can burst the bonds of death and obtain victory over sin, death, and hell. That's why the hymn is quite correct when it says, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph or his foes. And so thank God today we worship a risen and exalted Savior who dwells now in the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now let's go on to look at the fruit of the resurrection. Paul, in this portion of Scripture, is not focusing so much on the power displayed in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, but rather on the power that comes from the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. He says that I might know him, may know him, and the power of his resurrection. And Paul here is telling us that he wanted to understand and experience firsthand the proper influence the resurrection should have on his life and on his ministry. Now, the apostle had already experienced the power and virtue of the resurrection of Christ, but now his prayer is that he might know and feel more of it. Albert Barnes, the commentator, said, "There is no one truth that will have greater power over us, when properly believed, than the truth that Jesus is risen from the dead." And you know well that that is the capstone of Christian doctrine. Without the resurrection of Christ, Christianity is no better than any other religion. It is the resurrection of Christ that sets it apart. And thank God we know that he does live, and he lives forevermore. Now, there was as great a difference between the former and present condition of those believers in biblical times as there was between Christ in the tomb and Christ on the right hand of God. Because before they were dead in trespass and sin, and now afterwards they are alive in Christ Jesus, and all the power that there is for Christ is there also for his people. And he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And Christ has a life in himself, and he makes that life to flow in every part of his mystical body according to his word. "Because I live, ye shall live also." So we should triumph because we possess as believers the same life which is inherent in the person of our covenant head. If God will but speak, the coldest heart will be warmed and there will be life. The C.H. Spurgeon said, "If the salvation of souls depended upon the preacher, nobody would be saved. But when a preacher's master comes with him, however feeble utterance, the life flashes forth and the dead are raised." And thank God for every child of God here, raised from the grave of sin, walking in newness of life. And perhaps today you're here and you're still not saved. You're still dead in sin. Well, thank God Jesus is still the resurrection and the life. And he can lift you out of the tomb of sin and maybe give you new and eternal life by the shedding of his blood on the cross. Now, this power of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is a mighty power. It's a wonderful power, because over in the book of Ephesians, just a few chapters back, you'll find there in chapter 1 a tremendous little portion of the word. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power?" Now we're talking about the power of the resurrection. "What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head of over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." And so we have the might of the glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, from absolute death to absolute dominion, went our blessed Lord in the resurrection. Now, Paul is praying here in our chapter and in our motto text that his readers may have a right understanding of the greatness of the change that they had experienced. It was no mere moral transformation brought about by rational considerations, nor was it a self-achieved change, but it was one due to the power of the Almighty God. The followers of Jesus Christ had undergone a dramatic change. They had been brought to spiritual life. They had been raised from spiritual death by the same almighty power that raised Jesus. You see, the believer dies in the Lord Jesus, and the believer also rises in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's why we enjoy the power of his resurrection. Now, we should rejoice greatly in the fact that we possess as believers that life which is inherent in the person of our covenant head, the Lord Jesus. It is a mighty power, but not only that, it is a motivating power, because Charles Hodge once said that we must be free from the dominion of fear, and he mentions the word justification there, before we can be under the government of love, and he mentions the word sanctification there. And he points out that love is a far greater motivator than fear, because fear conjures up frustration, anguish, and sometimes anger and resentment. But love hopeth all things, believeth all things. And on a practical note, you will know that children do respond more to love than they do to fear. You can try and frighten a child into doing something, but it's not nearly so effective as when you love that child, and that child is constrained to be obedient through the love that you show to it. Likewise, the love of Christ is that which motivates us to do his will and rejoice in him. Now, some people try to serve the Lord as if he was always angry and always disappointed and upset at their failures. And so they go through life in a miserable, angry, disappointed way. But others who have fully understood their eternal standing in the Lord Jesus and the nature of God's unconditional love, they are found serving him not because they're afraid that God will deal harshly with them if they fail, but rather because of the fullness of the love of God. Just heard this morning somebody was saying that when C.S. Spurgeon was writing about the church and writing about music, he was saying that you should always write hymns that have a happy sound to them, because the child of God is to rejoice in the Lord. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him. And yet so many believers, they go through a miserable thing because they start off in the spirit and they think that they have to complete their running in the flesh, but it doesn't work. My friend, we are to rejoice in the Lord, and there's nothing will motivate us more than coming to grips with the fellowship of the suffering of the Lord Jesus and the power of his resurrection. You see, the Bible tells us that perfect love casteth out fear. And so we're not slaves to the Lord Jesus, and to God we are servants of him. And again, as the Bible tells us, it is the love of Christ which constraineth us. Now, the Lord's resurrection is closely allied to our justification in Romans chapter 4, where it says that he was raised for our justification. But as Paul is now praying for the power of his resurrection, it is as if he was saying that the Lord would give to him a constant assurance that he is justified, and to help him progress in his sanctification, that daily he will die to sin and daily will live unto righteousness. You see, Paul saw himself on a journey, just as we are, a journey from earth to heaven. And Paul is moving from his pre-Damascus road, sin and gross wickedness, to the holiness of God in his eternal and eventual reception into heaven. And the journey of sanctification is never complete until we are there with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what this is speaking about, that we press on. We press on towards the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, as he tells us later down there in the chapter. In the early days after our conversion, we dealt with the major sins in our lives. But as we travel along the road towards heaven, we begin to focus more and more on what would be perceived as our lesser failures and shortcomings, although there probably are not any less. But we are being sanctified day by day, and this is what Paul is talking about. And my friend, it's not a mysterious procedure. It's not a magical process. It is simply a matter of coming and laying hold upon God and praying to him that he would give us to know the fullness of the resurrection power of the Lord. And that brings me in closing just to focus on the application. Because Paul, he yearned to know Christ better, that I may know him. That was his heartfelt plea. And then we understand that we must spend time with a person in order to get to know them better. And the question arises again, do we as individual believers really know the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, if we don't know him and the daily walk with him, then we will never know very much about his power and the power of his resurrection. And remember the message we brought on Monday night in the week of prayer. It is the people that do know their God who shall be strong and do exploits. The people who do exploits must be strong, and their strength comes from the Lord and his resurrection, and therefore, knowing him, they will be able to do great things. Now, how do we actually get to the place where we know the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus? The first thing is that you admit your need unto him. That's what Paul is doing here. He said that I might know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, because although he knew a lot about the fellowship of the sufferings and the resurrection power of the Lord, still he wanted to know more. Now, for the last year or so, that I have felt physically rather weak, and due to the strong medication I was on for over a year, my stamina and my energy level certainly decreased dramatically. And people would ask me, how do you feel today? And I say, don't even ask, because I had lost so much energy and so much strength. And I try to put it down to advancing years. And that only works for a while, but there are other reasons as well. I went to Sunnybrook Hospital for my checkup there in September, and I told the doctor there about the problem. And he, after doing his test, he says, you know, your health is now good and there's no indication of the continuation of the cancer that you had. Your health is good, but there's one thing you do need, and that is you need to get into better shape physically. And he said to me that you need to have more exercise. I said, well, in the wintertime I try to swim, and in the summertime I'll do a lot of gardening. He said, that's good for your cardiovascular. But he says, what you need to do is get involved in weight training. Now, first prize is a course in weight training. The second prize is two courses in weight training, because that is not something that I would really want to get involved in. But I did have to come along to the doctor, and I had to tell him that I have a problem. I'm not as strong as I would like to be. My stamina and my strength is not anywhere near what it was before. And I tell him that. And my friend, that's what we need to do with the Lord today, is just come and tell the Lord, Lord, I need to know you more. I need to know thee better. I need to know thee in a closer walk with Thee. And Lord, I do need to know the power of Your resurrection. And we have to just tell the great physician. So that's what they say. Tell Him, Lord, we need this. This is what Paul did. Will you today tell the Lord of your need, of His power, and of a greater knowledge of Him? Then the next thing is that we need to desire to have more power. Now, initially, I kicked against the doctor's advice, and I really couldn't be bothered to take the effort to go on to some weight training, or even to the fact when I go to swim, I have to force myself to go, because swimming up and down a swimming pool for 20 lengths for half an hour is not my idea of fun. And so you have to force yourself, and I did kick against the doctor's advice, and really the bottom line was I couldn't be bothered to make the effort, because I said, that's too hard. Too hard, I'm too weak, I have no energy, I can't do it, I'm not able to do it. But then I began to look at the alternative, and the alternative was just to lie back and grow up into a great big couch potato. And that didn't look so good, so I said, I'm going to have to do something. And so I had to have the desire that something will be helped and will be improved. Now, that's what we need to do with the Lord, is to have that desire in our hearts, Lord, that I might know Thee. And that desire that I might know the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And so therefore, we need to ask the Lord daily for this closer walk with Him and ask Him for this resurrection power. You see, in Luke 11 and 13, Jesus said, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? So what do? You ask. You ask. And you ask Him over and over again to let the Lord know that you're really serious. Lord, I want to know Thee better, and I want to know the power of Thy resurrection. And, friend, don't kick against the pricks like I did with the doctor. I really don't want to get involved in this here. Paul himself had experience of kicking against the pricks on the road to Damascus and before then. But then he came and he met the Lord, and he met Him with power. Now he prays with a fervent desire after much experience of Christ that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. So you need to admit your need to Him, and you need to make sure that you do have a desire. And that desire comes from contemplate the other side, as I had to do with regarding the physical health. Contemplate the other side. If we do not know the Lord better, we do not have His resurrection power, then what sort of Christians are going to be in the day that needs people who are on fire before Almighty God? The third thing is that we obey the instructions. In the book of Acts, we're told, we are His witnesses of these things. That's the disciples speaking, Peter speaking with regard to witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are His witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God giveth to them that obey Him. So, if you want to know the power of God, you've got to tell the Lord your need. You've got a desire to have this closer walk with Him and this power. And then you've got to obey God's instructions. And we've read them already, that the Lord will give the Holy Ghost to them that ask and to them that obey. Now, I got an interesting gift over Christmas time that led me to do some things I hadn't wanted to do before. And that was that one of my well-meaning sons, and there's only one of them in the church now, the other one's away down in New Hampshire, but my son gave me two dumbbells, 10-pound dumbbells. And your first reaction, this is dumb, because I do not want to get involved in this sort of exercise. And I could think of 100 reasons why I didn't need dumbbells or need to begin to use them. But then I did begin to discipline myself. And the body is saying, you don't need to do this. I began to discipline myself. And I heard somebody on the radio, they're talking about another subject on about how you discipline yourself, and says that you force yourself for the first 2 weeks, and I think they were talking about some dietary thing or other, force yourself for the first 2 weeks, and then after you get over the hump of the first 2 weeks, then it will become an enjoyable habit. And whatever it is, some sort of food that you take you don't like, you know, that after a while, or if you're used to taking sugar in your tea and you drop the sugar out and first, yuck, but then after a while it does get better. Over 2 weeks it can become an enjoyable habit. And friends, we start the year, that gets us back to the fact that we need to underline daily Bible reading and daily prayer. Because that is the secret of coming to know the Lord, and that is the secret of having His power. And that involves discipline. Involves discipline at the attendance at the services for the good food of the Word of God. Now it's very easy to have all kinds of reasons for not coming. Very, very easy. That I went this morning, don't need to go tonight, and so on. Well, I'm kind of tired and I've so much to do. I didn't get a good night's sleep last night. And so there's all kinds of reasons come up why we do not need to go to the church services. But I think of this man sitting down here, Howard Saunders. Now, I remember vividly when Sharon had that accident. And that man was back in the seat in church the next Sunday. Now, he had 1,000 reasons for staying down with Sharon while she was unconscious in the hospital. 1,000 reasons to stay there. But he was here because he desired to know the power of the Lord. I said to people, a lot of people stay away from church for far, far less reason than he had for not being here. And so let us realize that if you want to have the benefit, you are going to have to discipline yourself. And that's what I'm doing now with those dumbbells. And that's not a dumb idea. In fact, I've got the stage where I enjoy them. I'm doing 24 cycles of a whole bunch of exercises. And already I feel so much better. So much better. My friend, spiritually, it's just the same. You discipline yourself to daily take time to be with the Lord and to read the Word of God, and you'll feel so much better. They tell you, eat healthy. And you can't have any better and more healthy eating than the bread of heaven that has come down from the Lord. Nothing in the Word of God is junk food. They're out there. Newspapers, magazines, television, radio, full of junk food. And we fill our minds full of that. You'll never know the power of the Lord. And the thing is that the wonderful thing is here that with regard to feeding upon the Word of God, there is no need to worry about diet. You see, if you eat too much out there, then you've got problems begin to develop in your life. And if you eat junk food, you're going to have more problems. But with the Word of God, the Bible says the righteous shall be fat and flourishing. And nobody can come along and say anything about you being fat and flourishing, because that's the way the believer's supposed to be. And if we feed upon the Word of God, we will be fat and we will be flourishing. And then also, you need to enjoy the fresh air of heaven in the place of prayer. In your own private place in the morning, or whatever time of the day you have your own special time. But you need especially to enjoy the fresh air of heaven at the prayer meeting. What a blessing it would be in this past week there, night after night. You say, well, years ago, I would have never want to go to a prayer meeting, but now you go along and you enjoy it because you're meeting with God's people and you're breathing the fresh air of heaven. The question today, are you physically strong? If you're not, things you can do about it, which I'm trying to do right now in my own life. But my friend, the more important question is, are you spiritually strong? And if you're not, you need to come and ask the Lord to help you experience the power of His resurrection, and thank God He will answer. Spiritually, we'll all feel a lot better if we get to know the Lord better and we begin to experience in our lives the power of His resurrection. The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the encouragement of the Word of God today. And we thank Thee, O God, that these are not magical potions that the Lord has placed before us, but these are matters of personal discipline. And Lord, we pray that Thou would help us to discipline our lives in our attendance in the house of God, at the prayer meeting, in our own private devotion, taking time to read and to study Thy Word. And God, Lord, we pray that every child of Thine shall grow stronger in the grace of the Lord our God. And Father, we pray too that Thou would speak to our young people. We thank Thee for those who know the Lord and have been baptized. We thank, Lord, of those who have requested to be baptized, and we rejoice that they are obeying Thee. But Lord, there's still more who should be responding to the call of the Lord. We ask You, God, that Thou would help them to understand that to obey is better than any human sacrifice. Oh God, we pray that Thou would make them obedient to the heavenly calling. And Lord, should there be a soul here not saved, bring that soul to Thee, that they too may enter in to the joy of our Lord. Hear this, our prayer, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a couple of verses, number 407.